Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Lamed Aleph, Avodah Zarah 31b, pagination is 62. We'll start from the bottom of the page, six lines up from the bottom. Omar lay in the middle of the line. Omar lay Shmuel l'chia barav. Shmuel said to Chia, the son of Rav. Bar Arya, the son of the lion. Tova im aloch milsa. Come, and I will tell you something ma'al yasa, that's very good, to have it omar rav avuch, that your father, Rav, used to say. So, before we make the statement, which is going to be our major focus, I'd like to just spend a moment on this expression, bar arya, literally the son of the lion. Chia bar Rav is a great person. His father was Rav, the famous Rosh Hashiva, and he's being referred to as Bar Arya, the son of the lion. So, as we discussed in the Iyun Shir, Yuma Lamites, by the word Bar Chamtzon, the expression Bar Chamtzon, the son of the grabber, so the Mefarshim ask, if this particular person in that Gemara in Yuma grabbed, but his father didn't grab, what are you calling him the son of the grabber? And we explained that when you say son of, sometimes it means biologically the son of, and sometimes it means that you subscribe to that quality. And it doesn't mean son of at all. It means that you're subscribing to this quality. So over here, we can really wonder, Bar Arya, son of the lion, does it mean that he's simply praising Chia Bar Rav, that you're a great person? Or in this particular context, he's referring to Bar Arya, you're the son of Rav, and I'd like to tell you something that Rav said. The margin note sends us to Brachas Yud Beis, where there are different expressions that were used in this very context. The Gemara in Brachas uses the expression Tuchia Barav, Bar Orion. And the margin note over there sends us to Menachas, where the wording is Bar Orion, such an expression, and over there Rashi explains, im ben Torahu, if he's a ben Torah, if he's a worthy person. So, these expressions will either be referring to the person themselves, or that they're the son of somebody, but by the case of Orion, certainly, it's if you are a ben Torah. The Gemara in Menachos is talking about a person who had a lot of good yichus, and he was coming in, and the expression was, Ibar Oryonhu, if he's one of us, if he's a Ben Torah, Yoi, then it's good, let him come. So that's certainly talking about himself and not his ancestry. In any case, getting back to our Gemara, which is on the general topic of Gilui, about water or wine, liquids that were left uncovered, and in their time there was a concern that a snake might have drunk from it and left some poison in the container, whether it's a big barrel or it's just a cup, a pitcher, but they had this concern. So he said, regarding that law, Hachi Omar Avuch, this is what your father Rav said, Hani Armoi Zukani, these Armenians, or non-Jews, perhaps it means specifically that tribe, or it's an expression, it means non-Jews. Dahavashasu Giluya, they drink from uncovered water, which we would be very scared to drink from because we're worried of snake poison. Velo Mesu, and they didn't die. So, we don't necessarily know for a fact, just because it was uncovered water, that there was snake presence, but they drink from the uncovered water, and they are showing symptoms of zukani, which means nefuchim, they're swollen, translated as dropsy or edema. They're showing certain signs that something's not quite right. Velo mesu, but they don't die. So our tradition is that someone would drink from such water if it was indeed infected. There's a concern they're going to die. Why are they showing up with different symptoms? Aidi da'ach lishkotzim u'remosim, because they eat different creeping creatures. Chavil gufayhu, their bodies are hot. It's describing almost like an antidote. Because they have these creepy creatures in their diet, so that acts against the poison, and therefore lo mesu, they don't die. Whereas a Jewish person with a kosher diet would drink from this particular thing, and we're seeing that there's a different medical result for these two categories of people, the Jew and the non-Jew. And indeed, it's brought that such a consideration has to be taken into account regarding medicine, just like genetics or locale or diet or history. All kinds of different things are taken into account. So this diet issue is also going to be taken into account in a medical sense. Tosfos at the bottom of the page makes reference to a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos is also talking about medicinal type of reactions, very physical world type reactions. The discussion over there is regarding shechvas zera, a man's semen that's in a woman, and the discussion in a particular case, if that semen was in a Jewish woman or in a non-Jewish woman, how long would it take to be masriach, to spoil and no longer have the halachic status of semen? And the Gemara makes a distinction between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish woman and says that a Jewish woman, it spoils faster. De daigi be mitzvahs, because they worry about doing mitzvahs, chavil gufayu, and therefore their bodies are hot, tefei me'ovdei kochavim, more than the non-Jew. So Tosfos asks, our Gemara seems to indicate the expression chavil gufayu regarding the non-Jew because he eats a different diet. And the Gemara in Shabbos is saying chavil gufayu on the Jew, because they're daigi b'mitzvahs, because they worry about mitzvahs. We're getting mixed messages over here as to who is chavil gufayu, whose body is hot. And presumably, the answer is we're using a very generic expression of chavil is hot, but we mean it in two very different ways. One is to cause masriach, to cause the spoiling of the semen. And the other is to be hot like in a battle, to antidote the poison of the snake, and they end up being zukani, being swollen, but they don't actually die because of this particular reaction of whatever chemicals are in these crawly things. The Chashukei Chemed, Rav Zilberstein, in a classic show of his very broad thinking, asks a question regarding a person who just today converted to Judaism and wants to know if he could still drink from something that a snake drank. We were just told that these non-Jews could have this antidote concept based on their diet. So the guy says, you know, my prior diet, maybe I'm also protected. So it's a brain teaser to identify whether once a person is megayer, does his entire biology change, or can he still claim whatever he used to have, his genetics, his diet, his experiences, and it could very well be that his prior diet still affects the way he is now. it's still not really a valid question for many reasons. One reason is that we didn't say that that diet automatically is an antidote. We said there's some people who drank and they lived and they only showed these particular symptoms. How could that be? So we're told that there are times that these creepy things in the diet could be the antidote. We didn't say try it. We didn't say it's reliable. We didn't say most people who behave like this actually die, but there's some exceptions and these are the exceptions. Okay, also, a person in our Geiris programs nowadays would not have recently eaten any creepies because as part of the Geiris program, they practice being Judaism, observing Judaism, practice being Jewish in order to make sure that this is for them, that we're making a wise decision. So again, for a variety of reasons, even a person who's stuck, his example is like in the desert and he's thirsty, would he be allowed to drink from this? We would presumably say that it's considered just as dangerous as it is to any person, Jew and non-Jew. It's just that there are exceptions of people who have a serious reaction but not actual death, and that can be attributed to achli shkatzim urimasim, that they eat this creepy crawly diet. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.